I do want to thank Harabaji, Grandpa, for inviting me. And now I'm never going to be invited back. So it was an honor to meet all of you. I'll see y'all in heaven. No, I was going to say, Pastor Sam inviting me was really a step of faith. It's bizarre to me how people would invite me and they've never heard me preach. I'm like, are you guys really that desperate? the next step said no. The next step after that said no. The next step after that said no. And finally, let's just get Tony, No, I really, between all the laughter and fun and everything, it's been a great honor. I never take for granted for me to stand before people to teach the Word of God and the truth and just be a part of what God is doing. I'm humbled every time. The fear of God is on me. And I just want to thank you for embracing me and for harassing me and tormenting me. Even this morning, I didn't even have my Man U jacket on, and y'all still came up, But that's family, isn't it? It's family. You're like, not yet, Tony. Don't go that far. But I want to thank you for your open arms and just embracing me, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of what God is doing with SP here. And again, it's a true honor. And I hope I do get to come back so P. Sam and I, we could play more golf together. And, a lot of the movement that we began in Bakersfield began in China. My encounters with God, the dreams that I've had with God. When the Lord asked me, Tony, can you believe for 2 million reformers on the earth? I said, no. That was in Shanghai. When he started talking to me about changing and not just building people, but building people to build cities and nations, radiant nations, that was in Beijing. When he talked about reformation of society and transformation of culture, that was in Guangzhou. And so what happened here, my heart deeply is connected. And so that's why I'm feeling a little of what I'm feeling, and that's why I'm joking around right now, just so I keep my composure a little bit. But with that, I really hope that you've been blessed. My biggest fear is I show up to a place and the people don't encounter God. That's my biggest fear. And I said, God, the day that happens is the day that I stop. Because, and I tell our church this too, the Sunday that we don't see his presence, we're done. And no ifs, ands, or buts. There's so many other churches, but we're not going to move that direction. And so there's some things that the Lord put on my heart this morning, but let me just ask a couple questions, because I could be totally off right now of some impressions. When I come to Hong Kong, many of you ask me, is this your first time? This is probably my 15th or 16th trip into Hong Kong. And mainly the reason why I come here is to meet with a lot of pastors from China. I was just here a month and a half ago, and there was about 200-300 pastors that came from China, for us to, maybe Sam, we should do something together, man. And in that space, I just come in and out. But as we were worshiping, is there a lion's gate or a lion's head or something about a lion that's associated with Hong Kong? What is it called? Lion Rock. Because I felt like God saying, get ready, because the lion is about to roar in Hong Kong. Get ready, because the gates are about to open. And it's because God is establishing you as an Isaiah 60 people. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And it goes on. And then it says this, kings and queens will come. Perhaps there's a season, what P. Sam was talking about, the influx. Listen, they're coming to the light. Light attracts. And what I felt was the miracles, signs, and wonders, and a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit is what's going to attract them here. And there's a new sound coming out of SP. I don't know if y'all write your own music, or do you yet, worship team? You know, I saw this last night. You know, I heard the Lord say, there's a new Solomon's Porch sound coming forth. And I feel like God is going to release a sound, a unique sound through this community. Because every movement has a sound. You know, and I feel like God is continuing to expand this movement. And as you sing the known songs that we so love, I would encourage you to tap into the ground of this nation. To hear the sound that God deposited that's supposed to go forth from this space. And so if you're part of the worship team, can you come up? I just want you to come up and I just want to pray for y'all. You guys look so serious. Calm down. I don't know if you guys ever even thought about writing music or anything like that, but you know, I saw that last night. And so, do you not like anybody? Is that why you're like over there? You're giving space. And so, can we just stretch our hands out towards them? Lord, I thank you for the anointing that's already on them. Lord, as worshipers first. And Lord, I pray that you would increase that now. I pray for the spirit of creativity to come forth. God, I pray that you would give them ears to hear the sounds released from heaven for this place and the nations, God. Lord, I pray for new melodic sounds and melodies and progressions, God, that come from heaven, that would change and shift atmospheres, that would usher in your glory. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch them now to release a new sound for a new season, for a new day, for a new people, for generations that are coming behind. God, let this sound attract the generations, God. Let the sound attract the nations, the ethnos on the earth, God. May you use them and through them to saturate the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. So just receive that right now. I just see the Lord touching you right now. Just, Lord, we just say more. Pour out fresh oil on them. Pour out fresh oil on them. God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone who agrees with this shouts a big amen. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Come on. So if I get invited back next time, I want to hear some fresh songs. Maybe we could export some songs from here to America. How's that? Yeah? Come on, let's do this. As my favorite team, Patriots, say, let's go! I saw a double portion come on then when I said that. Pastors that are going to Korea, can you stand up? Where art thou? Oh, they bounced. They're like, we're off to Korea. We out. This totally makes sense because of what P. Sam said, which gives me the boldness to actually say it now. Sometimes we're not, when you're not quite sure, you know, and it gets confirmed. This is what I heard. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The wells were dug. There's some new digging to do of the old wells. But there's some new wells that you're going to dig. And as generations have gone before you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was the fourth generation that experienced a multiplication. And so I felt like God saying, get ready, because I'm about to bring multiplication. You're going to experience multiplication in this season, that you've experienced addition, but now you're going to experience multiplication. And I felt like God saying, get ready, because he's going to bring the entertainment industry to you. He's going to bring influencers to you. But I see this whole creative dimension in Korea, you know, just the, and I know that world a little bit because I step into it once in a while when I go there and minister. But I just saw this influx of this attraction of the entertainers and the stars and the arts and entertainment and media coming in. Because of your heart, you don't have a spirit of usury. You have a spirit of God. You have the Father's heart, both of you. And so God's sending you in, not just to be shepherds, to be a father and mother to a generation. And you're going to see multiplication through that. And from your very own loins, you're going to raise up sons and daughters yourself. And so SP is going to have generational movements of, it's just not ascending from here, but it's going to be ascending from here, because you're going to also be ascending center yourself, and you're going to begin to saturate the different places. And so this is a word for SP global, you know, in this. And so I feel like the places that God's established you are not just churches. You're a church, and I don't ever want to negate that, but you are a literal apostolic sending center. So the different stations, that the hubs, you are hubs of regions to send out. And God says this, he says, whenever I appoint you to a new thing, I anoint you with a new thing. And so I just want to pray for you. Stretch your hands out, would you? Lord, we bless them, God. Lord, I pray for fresh oil. Thank you, Lord. Increase that heart of the father, the heart of the mother. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand for that word? I want to thank my mom, thank my dad, but first of all, I just want to thank my Lord Jesus, who saved me. I've always wanted to do that. See, I get so desperate, I award myself. You know, last night, I really believe that there was a lot of impartation that we received. We cried out for gifts, and God gave it. And if you were able to receive it by faith, as James says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen? But so oftentimes, we take the gifts, and we create trophies out of them. We just say, look at my gift. It becomes another notch on our belt. Oh, I got prayer from this person. I got an impartation from that person. You know, the speakers that you've had come through here that have released the dimension and level of impartation if we were to use even just a quarter of what we received, I think we could transform a nation. But what we've done is we've taken the gifts that God's given to us and we turned them into trophies. And how many of you know a gift is not a gift until someone else benefits from it? The gift of God is not for you, but it's for the person next to you. It's the purpose of gifts. And so whatever gift you received last night or gifts, I'm kind of a spiritual hog. I'm kind of, you know, just, I ask God for everything. I'm like, God, I want to be a pastor and a millionaire. What gift do you want? God, I want every gift. I want the gift of speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, the distinguishing of spirits. I want the gift of wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles, faith, healing. I want it all. But when we receive that, the question is this. Now what? Then what? This morning we sang about the goodness of God. The theme, the overall theme that was woven from this first song to the very last song was the goodness of God. Aren't you grateful for Him? Some of the songs wrecked me this morning. I was just reminded back when he called me, when I was running from Him and He chased after me. That's the goodness of God. What you're seeing up here, whether you believe it or not, is the goodness of God. It's a miracle that I am alive today. And the fact that we're able to sit here together is the goodness of God. The fact that you're sitting next to the person you're sitting next to is the goodness of God. And I want to lay something in my final time with you. And no, I'm not dying either. At least I don't think so. The question is, what's Holy Spirit doing? What's He saying? What's He saying to us? Even back in 2020, when this whole COVID outbreak took place, the world was calling it a global lockdown. But how many of us contended to hear what heaven had to say about that? I almost died twice. I had COVID the first time after I spoke at a national conference in America, and I was in bed for 4.5 months. The doctor said I was going to die. And thank God I didn't. All one of you, thanks for being excited. What's wrong with the rest of you? Who said amen? Come on, I'll be praying for you with an impartation at the end. I said, God, the world is calling it a global lockdown. What are you saying? I'll pray for you too. Now you start talking. Okay, I got to throw some bones out. I see how this works in Hong Kong now. Pastor Sam, I'm kind of getting the culture a little bit now. You know, it's a give and take, you know. He said, Tony, it's not a global lockdown. He said, for my people, it's a global Sabbath. He said, strive to enter into my rest. And do you know how hard it is? Maybe you do, for Asians. Us resting is working. We hurt more when we're resting. Isn't that true? We're more restless when we're still than when we're working. We become crazy. We become stir crazy. But the last few years was a Sabbath that God gave to us. Because how many of you know, after the Sabbath is always a reset. It's the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. in the Hebraic calendar, see, in the Greek, you know, just from the Greek perspective, it becomes Monday again. It's one. But in Hebrew, it becomes eight. See, 7 days rest and then eight. Eight in the Hebrew means a time to ascend. Eight means new beginnings. There's so much more that the eight represents within the Hebraic culture and Judaism. But it's a new reset. But we've had a tough time resetting because we missed it. We thought it was a lockdown instead of a Sabbath. So we're trying to fight our way through a season when God wants us to rest through a season. Because we could accomplish far more in rest than when we can in striving. Are you doing okay? Can you breathe? And so we need to continue to inquire the Lord as we're journeying and advancing with God. See, if we look at David's life, every time he had victory within the context of passage that we read, it's somewhere in there one phrase, and David inquired the Lord. And then there was victory. And then he goes to a city that's lesser than any other city that he had victory from, and he gets defeated in the city of Ai because nowhere in that passage or chapter does it say David inquired the Lord. He thought, oh, we defeated greater cities than this. We could just go in and just take over. And so it's this constant hearing the voice of God. It's constantly being connected to Holy Spirit. See, it's come Holy Spirit. You know, and I love that phrase. You know, Lonnie Frisbee back in the Jesus People movement, he's the one that, you know, he just said those words and the bomb dropped in a room. And I don't know if you've ever heard the recordings of it, but you hear this young man say, come Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, everyone just, it's like, it's like the room blows up. But it's just, not just come Holy Spirit. See, we want Holy Spirit to come. When we meet, we say come. And you know what? I totally get it. And I do the same thing. I love it. But at some point, we have to shift from visitation into habitation. It's come Holy Spirit, and like you did with Jesus, would you remain? And yet throughout history, there were many comings of the Lord, if I could say that. You know, he touched down throughout history where we would call them revivals, reformations. 1906, Azusa Street Revival. 1906, the Pyongyang Revival. You know, these are when Christ touches down. It's the coming of the Lord for that generation in that season. And yes, there is the coming of the Lord, the day of judgment. But in between, there's these comings of God where he comes and visits. But perhaps we can be a generation that not just understands the visitation of the Lord, but a habitation. That we can move from a place where we get visited. But God, would you stay? Where we can establish Isaiah 66 people that answers that question. Where is my dwelling place? Where can my head rest? God, we say here at SP. May this be your dwelling place. May this be the place of habitation. May this be a place where you can rest. How many of you, that's our heart. And I feel like God is inviting us to step into a place of the greater from visitation into habitation. And yet we still celebrate the visitations and thank God for them. And we remember his goodness and we take all that he's released. And we say, God, would you continue to advance us? And I believe that there's a place and space where God has showed us what it looks like for us to live in a space of habitation. This has been my entire journey with God. I never asked for ministry. I just said, Jesus, I just want people to say, Tony's been with you. On my tombstone, I told my family this. I want three things on it. I know I'm kind of sick. I'm too young to even think about this. You know, when I go to different places in different nations, you know, my family, they pray and send me off. And some of the places I go to, I may never come back. We ingrained that in them since they were 1, 2 years old. And we would tell them, if daddy goes, remember, it's God's goodness. It's God's goodness. And plus, they have really good life insurance on me, so it's pretty good. They do. I made sure that they're taken care of. We do all the practical things as well. But the comings of God, the habitation, I told my family, just say this, Tony loved his family and was loved by his family. He was a worshiper and he was with Jesus. Simple. How many of you know life is not about growing our influence? Life is about hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. That when we live the life where our finish line is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, influence is a byproduct. And so often I feel like we go after the byproduct rather than the main objective. And so we experience good things, but we don't enter into the fullness of what God has for us from his basileia, his kingdom. And so we sang about his goodness. You know, Yale historian, he wrote several years ago this article on time periods and history. And he said, every 500 years, I'm kind of paraphrasing in my own language the way he said it. He said, every 500 years is a macro level reformation. In between the 500 years are micro reformation. And 2017 was the 500 year mark of the Great Reformation that we know that happened in 1517 with Martin Luther. Martin Luther was not the only reformer, but he's the one that God highlighted to write the 95 Theses to come against man-made doctrine. And so the question is, there's a first reformation, then what was the first reformation really all about? What is the single major question that was answered? I'm glad you asked. It's how is one saved? The first reformation is about how is one saved. And it wasn't through indulgences or anything like that. It was by faith. We're justified by faith. Romans 1:17 became a pillar scripture for that time. And now Martin Luther wasn't perfect because it was actually that reformation that removed the apostolicity of the church, where apostles were removed because of the corruption and the immoral failures within the bishoply and papal quarters. Are you doing okay? Am I boring you? And so, but the question he answered was, how is one saved? We're saved by faith, by grace, through faith. This not of ourselves, so that no one can boast. Can I get an amen? But where did he get that understanding from? There was a previous reformer by the name of Jan Hus. Or if you're to pronounce it right, Jan Hus. He was known as the reformer of worship. The music we have today is because of Jan Hus, the reformer of sound. He changed worship. In fact, his teachings were rejected, and he believed this, we're saved by grace through faith, this not of ourselves, so that no man can boast. That's what he believed. No one would receive that message, so what did he do? He penned that message in a song. And they began singing songs with words that they didn't even believe. Something about worship, isn't there? There's something about just the sound that's released. That even, you know, the songs that we sing, there's churches and movements that disagree with our theology. But yet they sing the same songs that we sing, which they actually theologically disagree with. What a holy ambush. I love it. PSAM just did a holy ambush. He's like, if you have a heart for this. And he goes, by the way, this is a team. You know, that's the revelation of Jehovah Sneaky. That's another face of God in a nature of God we see once in a while. And see, and so we encounter Jehovah Sneaky. So that's the first sermon. But you notice, it went from Jan Hus to Martin Luther. Jan Hus was burned at the stake because he believed we were saved by grace through faith. He was burned at the stake, and he was singing his song while he was being burned alive about this truth. Martin Luther, he gave his life to come after man-made doctrine. One of the big ones was indulgences. I mean, there's 95 things that he had issues with, but it was man-made doctrine. The reason why they did indulgences is, frankly put, they ran out of money to finish their building project. So they had to figure out a way to create more revenue sources. So they created these man-made religious rituals so they could actually get the money and finish the building. But he stood for the truth of we're saved by grace through faith. How many of us believe that? See, God is now not just releasing revival, but he's now bringing into marriage revival and reformation. Because we are now at a mark, according to sociologists and historians, secular, by the way, not Christian, saying that we are in a mark of history that's going to change the next 500 years. So then, here's this question. If the first Reformation was about how are we saved, then what is the question for this new Reformation? I'm proposing to you that we are in a new day, that we are in a new time of Reformation. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of us, not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, that not of a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I believe that the first Reformation was Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And the second Reformation that we are in now is about Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we are his workmanship. We are his poema, is a Greek word. Perhaps our life was written in heaven before we came in the flesh here, that God would masterfully craft in perfection a poem from heaven, throw skin around it, and put them on the earth. That when people see the life that we live, when they look at you, they look at me, they see a rich, deep, perfect poem written from heaven walking on the earth. That they see the beauty, that they see the goodness of God. We used to sing that one song, kind of cheesy and corny, His Banner. How many of you remember that? His banner over you, His banner over me, His banner over us is love, love, love. You can feel the love of God in this place. Believe His goodness. We receive Your grace. What else? And it says, just look at our lives. See, when people look at our lives, we may not feel it. We may not believe it. You may have just walked out of your house shouting at one another, screaming, fighting. But people see the goodness of God. And so the question for us in the second Reformation that we're in today, I want to propose to you is this. We answered the question, how are we saved? Now we need to answer the question, how shall we live? How shall we live? Verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say good works. Not to receive his love, not for further redemption or sanctification, but because we're already loved, because we're already part of the family of God, that we go and do good. Again, Acts 10:38, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good all those who were oppressed by the devil. So whenever we go out and we see people that are hurting, we see people that are just marginalized, those who are rejected, those who need healing, those who are oppressed by the devil, and you go and serve them and you love them, you are doing good. We are called to do good. And oftentimes it's hard for us to translate the work of the kingdom outside of the four walls of the church. But really, statistically, 99 or 98% of all of Christendom are not in full-time vocational ministry. But the reality is, we are all ministers. So part of the Reformation in the church is that we are all in full-time ministry. We all have a pulpit with our name on it. It just may not be inside the four walls of a church. You may have a pulpit in the government sector. You may have a pulpit in business, in the marketplace. You may have a pulpit in arts and entertainment, media, family, education, religion. But your pulpit may not be here. So in other words, if I could say this, and I'm going to speak on behalf of Pastor Sam, and he could correct me if I'm wrong. All of you are positioned for greater impact than he and I are. We're here to equip you so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. And so this whole process, it was kind of building blocks. Jesus, the Bible says that God builds line upon line, precept upon precept. And we had these little building blocks along the way this weekend. And we talked about worship a lot. But see, one thing that we need to understand is there's a reform in worship. Oftentimes when we think of worship, we think of singing. Instruments. I notice this is a total Martin church when it comes to guitars. It's awesome. Even though I have Taylor's. Oftentimes when we think of worship, we think of it this way. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says this. And God put Adam in the garden. And told him to what? Work. Work. Work did not come after the fall. Work came in our created design. And that word work in the Hebrew is avodah. Work. There's many layers of definition when it comes to the Hebraic word. And the other side of the coin of avodah is worship. So in other words, there is no separation between work and worship. And how many of you know when you work, you make a sound? When you type the keys on a keyboard, you make a sound. And if your heart is postured right before the Lord, then you are worshiping, not just typing, doing work. See, when you're in meetings and you're doing presentations and you're, you know, drawing on these whiteboards and you're drawing circles and squares and lines and delineations and all these things so that no one can understand it. So, but you feel important and you feel smart because no one can understand it, but you know what you're talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're just like, here, and you're like, what? You're like, this is exactly what this means. It's like translating tongues that makes you sound really smart. But see, every pen on a whiteboard that streaks is a sound of worship if your heart is postured before God. When you're answering phones, it's a sound of worship if your heart is postured before God. So the glory of the Lord, or the knowledge of the glory of God that covers the earth, like the waters cover the sea in Habakkuk 2:14, I don't think it's just going to be this sensationalized idea of a cloud descending on the earth. God could do that. He could do whatever he wants. But I believe it's the sprinkling of salt that he does all across the nations, releasing his church, his ecclesia, his bride into every place, every space with this new revelation that my work is just not a workplace, it's my place of worship. That if you're an attorney, you're in court, if you're in litigation, you stand there, it is a posture of worship. Every signature is a posture of, it's worship. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in that place of worship, you have that encounter with God. And when you begin to have encounters with God in the space that God has entrusted to you, get ready because a kingdom is about to manifest. My daughter's a professional ballerina now, but, you know, over the years, she told me 3.5 years old, Daddy, because, again, those of you with young children, look at them and just say, how are you going to change the world for Jesus? And I would just ask all my kids, and finally at 3.5, she said, I know what I'm going to do. And I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to dance for the glory of God, and His glory is going to fall when I dance in the world. She never looked back. So she'll go to these competitions, she'll go to these shows, productions, and she's a beautiful dancer, but she has to work hard. She's natural, but she's not that natural, if you know what I'm talking about. Like for me, nothing comes easy. Like nothing. I have to fight for everything. Like speaking, I was so bad at it. I spent thousands of hours in front of a mirror practicing because I knew I was called at it and I frankly didn't want to suck. Because I wanted to be a person of excellence in my communication. If I'm going to present the gospel, I want to do it with God's strength and excellence. How many of you know His name is excellent? And so in everything we do, when we do things in excellence, we're doing good. And excellence attracts favor. You want favor? Just do things in excellence. And people will take notice. That'll set you high and above anyone else around you. My watch says 7:30. We're doing good. So she dances in secular production company, you know, just whatever. And I remember one time we were there, she was rehearsing and she was dancing and the Spirit of God fell in Studio A where she was rehearsing with the team. She saw that and she began to pray for people. Someone got injured. She go pray for them. They get healed. The principal dancer and the instructor are like, what just happened? They're like, can you do that for this person? They don't know what happens, but when someone gets injured, they call Eliana to go pray for them. And these are atheists. These people just don't like God yet. One lady, she came in, crutches, ACL surgery. Eliana was dancing, and she said, I feel something in my leg. And I said, what do you feel? You know, I'm a dance dad next to a bunch of dance moms. I don't get involved. They get crazy, you know. Like Koreans call it crazy, you know. And so I'm there, and she's like, I'm feeling heat in my leg. And I'm like, okay. I said, what happened? She said, I had ACL surgery a few days ago. And I said, take your brace off. She looked at me like I was crazy. I said, no, just take it off. So she took it off gingerly. And I said, start bending your knee. I said, do something you couldn't do. Does that sound familiar? And she started moving gingerly. And she started doing this. And then she did this. And she cussed. She said, oh my blankety blank blank. What just happened? And she was completely healed in the middle of my daughter dancing. And I said, you just experienced Jesus and His love. And she said, I don't even know how to process this right now. She says, this makes no sense. I said, I know. I said, God makes no sense to our rational and finite mind. See, what would happen when we start living with the awareness that we carry the presence of God everywhere we go? Things change. See, when you step into a room, people should look and say, who just walked in? Because the atmosphere changed. See, oftentimes, we've learned how to be thermometers when God's created us to be thermostats. And that's what happens when we have the presence of God on us. I remember speaking at a business conference. Afterwards, this gentleman comes up and says, hey, can you come over and pray for my business? He's like, I'll buy you a meal. I'm there. You say food, I'm there. And so I jumped in his car and we drove. It took us 8 hours to get there. I was with the translator and I said, I'm like, 1 hour? I said, how far? She goes, oh, business is 8 hours away. So I learned something. Always ask how far it is when people invite you. I was like, I had like spirit of stupid on me or something, you know? And so we get there and it's just this huge just facility. We pull in, we walk in, and I'm in awe of this, just the structures and all these things. We walk into the boardroom and around the board table, there's people in suits, and I'm like, I'm way underdressed for this. I was dressed like this, exact same clothes, everything, literally, you know, just kidding. And we sit down, and this is what the CEO says. He says, I brought Tony. He's a business consultant, but he also hears from God. And he's going to tell you about your life. And he's going to help our company grow in our profitability margin for this next year. I looked at my translator. I said, I'm not a prophet. I don't operate like this. She looked at me and she said, you better be today. She did. Just because she graduated from Harvard and got her PhD from Oxford, she thought she could talk to me that way. And so I'm sitting there and I'm panicking at this point. How many of you ever find yourself in situations where you don't belong? You're like, what am I doing here? What's going on? I'm finding myself there. See, when you find yourself there, you know it's by grace. And grace tells you, you can only do it with him. And so I became a mighty intercessor in that moment. I prayed one prayer repeatedly, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I said, what do I do here? And he said, do here what you do in church. I said, Lord, I call people out in church. I do like words of knowledge. I preach. And it was just silent. So I was like, okay. Reluctantly, my knees were shaking and it was not the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I get this impression of this lady that I'm looking at across the table. And I have this impression that she has lupus. And I said, ma'am, do you have pain in your body? She goes, yeah. Do you have pain every day? Yeah. Long story short, I asked if I could pray for her. Jesus heals her. She gives her life to Jesus. And in that space, I began to just minister to different people. I just said, you know, God has a plan for you. This, I see this is what the Lord's doing in your life here. And I just started giving them different words. And all of a sudden, I get this picture of a blueprint. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying it out loud. I said, I get a picture. I said, is there something like this? How many of you know you don't have to be hyper-spiritual in your communication? Just be normal. You know, I didn't go, and the Lord will say unto you. I just said, I see this. I'm not exactly sure what it is. And one guy gets out of the room, comes back with the blueprint, unrolls it, and he says, this is what you're talking about. And it was exactly the picture that I saw. And I felt the impression, I got a word of wisdom, and I said, if you put this at the forefront within your R&D department and create this product, it's going to bring you profitability this next year. They did that. But before I tell you how I found that out, so this guy comes up to me, and he comes up and he kneels before me. He's weeping. And he says this, where did you get this wisdom? And I thought, he didn't say power. He said wisdom. I thought, I was never called wise. In fact, I was called polar opposite. And he said, if I follow your God, will I have wisdom like you? I said, if you follow my God, I said, you could have wisdom that far excels what you ever saw in this room. I said, I'm nothing but a drop in the bucket. And he began weeping. And he said, I want your God. How do I get him? And I said, it's Jesus. And I led him in a sinner's prayer. And he, after he did that, he just took a deep breath. I said, what are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling peace. I'm feeling peace. I left there, came back 6 months later, and the CEO says, our company grew 18% profitability off that one product this year. And he said, do you have any more words for me? He didn't give me no offering or nothing. I said, I don't have any more words. How many of you know you just don't make it up? You know, when God says, you speak. When he doesn't, you just say you don't have anything. You know, it's integrity. And so I'm calling all of us into a place of action. 1 Timothy 1:7, he did not give us a spirit of fear, cowardice, but instead love, power, and a sound mind. And what that does is it breaks inaction and moves us into obedience. And how many of you would say, through the experience with God I had this weekend, I am saying once again, here am I, God, send me. Here am I, God, send me. Here am I, God, send me. That I'm going in with a different understanding. I'm being sent out with a fresh anointing. I'm going to walk into these spaces as a new person. If that's you this morning, I want you to stand. Here am I, God, send me. And I just ask him for a fresh anointing. So, Holy Spirit, anoint me. Anoint me for this fresh assignment, for this new season. Holy Spirit, anoint me afresh. Set me on fire. So God, I thank you and I pray for every person here that as Jesus went doing good, that you would show us what good looks like through the gifts, talents, and the space and the place that you've entrusted to us. God, I thank you. Just pray for one. Or just put your hand on the person next to you and just bless them real good right now. Just bless the call on their life. And for those of you who are frustrated with the space that you've been working in, ask God to give you a new love for that place. Ask God to give you a new love for the people. More Holy Spirit. Increase the measure of your goodness, your anointing, your power. A fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. More Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor.
Let's sing one song together, huh? Let's just continue to worship as we wrap up our retreat. We actually need to vacate the room, like, now. This is totally my bad. I totally lost track of time, so sorry about that. We've been having so much fun throughout this time, and so let's just worship the Lord, and let's close our time, and, you know, but thank God it's not the end, right? We come together on Sunday. So exciting. Need us, guys.
I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. Thank you. give me your vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you. I will love you. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, oh God, you reign. And hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever, oh my God, hallelujah. I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you. God, we love you so much, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us, God. The way that you continue to pursue us, Lord. God, once we were lost and alone in the darkness, and you found us, God. And you kept us close. And you continue to love us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. From this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Let's thank the Lord.